asking, what is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast, got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say at last. Two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Our smarts, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Miss the live show, rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast, never outclass, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny, bringing the schmears. Rock for rookies, represent. Let's get this show started, man.
To episode 8 of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Alongside Mike, I'm Johnny.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up? All right, so a bit of an anecdote to start the show off. In most places, when you use a credit card, they give you a small screen, and you write your signature on the screen, right. And then you hit enter, and then you go your merry little way, right?
Okay.
So, I don't know about you, or the collective you, but when it's time for me to sign my name, if I'm by myself, I draw a penis. Sure. Yes, I always draw a penis. And that's fine. Nobody's looking, nobody sees it.
You're talking about, like, when you're standing in line at the coupon, at the checkout counter, and there's nobody in line with
I swipe my thing, she says, okay, sign the thing, and I sign the thing with a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Today, for the first time, somebody saw me.
Somebody saw you.
I'm at the grocery store. I'm paying for a few small things, haphazardly scribbling out my little penis picture, and then I turn, and the guy behind me the next guy in line.
Okay.
He looks at me, and now it's hard to do. In modern times, in 2020, because we're all wearing masks, but I gave him, I'm masked, right? And I give him, a very serious, and then he just starts laughing, and then I pack up my stuff and I walked away.
I'm surprised you weren't life is my art installation, and then just go with it from there.
That does taste good, by the way.
I told you, yeah.
Okay, so Michael bought a Monster Energy drink. We're both well over exhausted, and I do want to show you something with the. I'm gonna need the can for a second.
There you go.
So Monster Energy sponsors a ton of people, all kinds of. They try to be like Red Bull as well, and they sponsor a bunch of race car drivers,
and a lot of rockers too.
A lot of rockers too. That makes sense. Because what the energy drink brands want to be is not an energy drink brand. They kind of want to be a lifestyle brand. So they associate their energy drink with all the different types of sports and activities that a person who would drink this potentially would be engaged in.
Right.
Okay.
Like sitting down on a couch and watching TV.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't understand, when I drink an energy drink, it's because it's the morning and I don't drink coffee, so I drink one of those instead.
Yeah.
Or I'll drink one now, before our show, so I'll get a little bump of energy before the show starts. But I'm not gonna, sit on my couch, watching TV and what I need.
So energy drinks for me are afternoon at school, trying to get through the day, late class, pretty much every time the day after we play Dungeons & Dragons till 11:30 at night. I drink them a lot more than you do.
I could
Though I have been sticking to the no sugar ones as much as possible.
So, the problem with the no sugar ones, by the way, is the fact that they have all kinds of weird chemicals in them instead of the sugar, which are also bad for you. So, you're gonna die no matter what. Alright, so, my favorite Formula One driver is a guy named Lewis Hamilton. Now, Lewis Hamilton...
That's unfortunate.
Why?
Isn't that the name of the show? Isn't that the Broadway show?
What does one have to do with the other?
I'm just saying. He's probably made fun of a lot by people.
Nobody's making fun of Lewis Hamilton for having
My name is Michael, and any person who meets me goes, Michael Jordan, Michael this guy, Michael this probably... This guy's name is actually Lewis Hamilton.
That's because Israelis are idiots. Okay, so...
That's not true.
Okay, some of them. Can I wait. Yeah, specific, but I'm going to need the can because I'm going to demonstrate. I'm not going to drink from the can, but I'm going to demonstrate something for you. Anyway, so this guy, Lewis Hamilton, he's very much a, my body is a temple, I'm in peak conditioning, he's vegan. What he tries to do, which he had a whole Instagram post about it the other day, is what he tries to do is he tries to live his private life to offset the potential environmental damage driving race cars might do. So he tries to be...
So, meaning if he tries to cover up his carbon footprint exactly, with good deeds.
With good deeds, right?
That doesn't work.
He's done a bunch of videos of him, like, cleaning beaches with his friends.
Yeah.
He's a vegan. He sold his jet, and he flies as little as possible, and so on and so forth. Anyway, but he's Monster Energy sponsored, so he's contractually obligated to drink. Now I'm going to need the can. Right, so you'll see sometimes he'll be sitting at the press conference, right? He'll reach down, pick up a can of energy, literally do this. Put it back down, and you'll never see the can again. And in a way, like, I kind of feel bad. I don't feel bad for the guy because he's getting paid for it. But in a way, I kind of do feel bad because this guy is
making money off of something that he personally can't...
Is making money off of something that not only is he personally not really use... It's like the complete opposite of the way he lives his life. And I don't know why the Monster Energy... Is he so valuable as a spokesman that the Monster Energy brand hasn't put two and two together? Like, well, he'll go, listen, if
they
all...
must know he's not
if all I need to do is very briefly, very quickly, just tilt and put it down and that's it. I bet that he has specific instances where he has to be seen drinking one. I bet it's all outlined in this contract.
It's all outlined again. So all the rockers, they mostly just have the armbands. Like, they'll have an armband with the green M on it. The lead singer of Korn has a Monster Energy drink armband. The lead singer of Five Finger Death Punch has one. The lead guitarist of Five Finger Death Punch wears, like, a whole shirt getup of Monster Energy drink.
It tastes like, to borrow a turn of phrase from a British comedian, it tastes like a pineapple battery.
Pineapple, but it's ginseng.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know what that is, though.
What is
ginseng?
It's a root. Ginseng, I believe, is a root of a plant that is ingested for its energy properties.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. Well, good job.
Yeah.
I think it tastes great.
That's fine. I'm not taking that away from you. But now, did you know this? Can I have the can again?
Oh, my God.
Did you know this about Monster Energy drink? I know we're doing a lot of free advertising. Now, these three letters in the claw here,
yeah,
they're three vuvs in a row. Vuv, vuv, vuv. Vuv is the numerical number for the number 6666, the number of the beast.
No way, that's awesome.
No, that's a complete and utter bullcrap.
No.
And by the way, 666 wouldn't be vuv, vuv, vuv.
No, I think you're onto something.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
some super evangelistic woman on YouTube once.
Here, just feel the can, though. Like, feel it.
It's texture.
It's got that texture to it, and it's got this, like, beautiful, those of you can see, it's just got that, like, this beautiful design to it.
Okay.
It's like they're putting in so much effort into this can.
You're right, because the product that's inside of the can is...
What was the other energy drink? I'm blanking right now. The other big one with cans this big?
Not Red Bull.
It was the one that I was drinking all summer when I was in America last year. And I kept
saying... NOS.
Nas.
Yeah,
yeah,
they
Nas
sponsor
stuff.
one of the car guys I watch on YouTube. I'm just pulling up
Why are you so freaking tired this week?
Oh, not specifically this week, but specifically last night. My daughter woke me up super early in the morning, and I didn't have a great night's sleep last night, so...
But you did have a win this week, in the sense that there was a pakach at the turning at the circle at school, finally giving out tickets to people.
Was he giving tickets?
He was taking pictures of the license plates, giving out tickets.
Right.
And then the new principal of the school sent out, at least according to Ellie, because this has to be hearsay because I don't actually read the emails, a scathing, angry letter to all the parents of the school. How dare they park in that area? It's dangerous to all the kids. The Pekak's gonna be there every single morning. He's gonna give out tickets to everybody.
Here's the problem with that is that he's not.
Why not?
He's not there. He wasn't there today.
Yeah, I don't
know. Okay, so, but for those of you who don't know, here's the story. The way that our children's school is situated is there's an entrance, a little road, and the road goes up about 50 to 75 meters, and then there is a roundabout, and then you can go around to come back. Now, as you go around the roundabout, there's a lane in red where is the drop-off lane. You stop your car, kids get out, you go to work or wherever you're going in the morning. Fine. Seems great. Now, a couple years ago, what kept happening is that people would come into the driveway, cut across the exit lane, and just dive in to the drop-off lane. And it was super dangerous, and people were being complete and utter douchebags about it. And so the school said, well, here's what we had to do. So they had to put up a barrier. It's ugly. It's hideous.
It's this big, Johnny. It's 6 inches off the ground.
It's so unsightly, and it shouldn't. The thing that makes it uglier is the fact that you know that if the other parents could behave like adults like we do, then we wouldn't need it. Okay? So then, fine, that problem was solved. Then what happened? Then people decided that they don't want to drop their kids off in the drop-off lane. They would rather... Again, and this is for reasons that I don't understand, because there were times where I would pull up to the school.
Yeah.
There's three cars stopped in the traffic circle.
Blocking the other cars.
And the red part, the drop-off lane, is empty. Or one or two cars in it. So the fact that the
logic
principal...
Behind that.
One second. The fact that the principal would give everybody a bunch of crap about it, I applaud her. I applaud her. And great. And they should. And I hope people are embarrassed and feel bad.
So the logic behind dropping the kids off is that the parents can then watch their kid walk through the gate from the circle. The problem is that they let their kids out of their back doors into the middle of the circle, which is the most ridiculous out of all of it.
Well, they're just going do looking out their back door. Listen, I don't care. There's no reason for it. What?
What other song could you have put there besides that one?
None.
They're doing walking out their back door.
You said open up the back door.
Right.
So then I thought that... You know the song I'm singing, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, you could also be my backdoor man, and then...
Whoa. Hey, hold on. Hey, now.
We're already sharing this lovely can of juice between us.
By the way, I don't know what I've eaten tonight. I do know what I've eaten tonight. But that, I feel, has...
You feel it?
I feel... I don't know. I feel something.
Kozer posted...
I actually had a hamburger from Migrasha Beti tonight.
Friend of ours posted, like, a huge collection of 2020 memes that were connected to The Princess Bride. Did you see that?
I saw that it existed, but
so
I didn't...
The one that I enjoyed the most, I think that's speaking to me right now, because I do have to give a recap of what the F's been going on at school for the last week, okay, was the one with... what was the bald guy? Fazzini, right? And Fazzini's going, surely I can't choose the teaching style of staying in school in front of me, but I also can't choose the method of staying... Ah, I screwed it up. I forgot. Okay. Point being, this week has been one of the most insane weeks in my entire life, and I'm not exaggerating even a little bit. Okay? What I would like to do is to try to explain to you what they have all the teachers doing right now.
Okay?
It's worse than you can possibly imagine.
I can imagine some pretty bad shit.
It's that bad. Okay, nobody's getting, like, hurt.
Okay.
Okay. All right. It goes like this. So
the part that sucks about it, the worst, is that you have to actually physically be in school to teach remotely.
That's not the worst part. That's not the worst part. So they have us up on top of a stage in the ulam, like in the hall where they usually do like plays and lectures and all that kind of stuff. It fits about, I want to say, 300 people nicely in chairs. And what they have is all of us spread out in a giant square room with like nothing blocking anybody off. And they've set up like laptops, like 15 laptops around the room. So you have all these teachers pressed up against the walls with laptops, like the laptops are like tiny, half the size of the one that we're using right now. And so these teachers who have never Zoomed before in their life, because something that a lot of people don't realize...
Many of them are also older and have vision problems.
Many of them are 55 to 60 plus, right. Okay? I was actually complaining about this today with Eugenie. I realized I've been at this school for 11 years, and somehow I'm still one of the youngest teachers in the English department, because they keep hiring teachers that are older than me. So despite the fact that I keep getting more VETEC, like I'm spending more time, the last five teachers seniority. They've hired, I have more seniority, at least I think, than the other teachers. Not that that kind of stuff really matters in this school so much. But, like, the last five teachers they've hired are all older than me by, like, 5 to 10 years, which is crazy.
Well, it's there's just a shortage of teachers, right?
Yes.
Right.
There are. And, you know, these are all good people and all, but I don't feel like I'm not getting respect, you know what I mean? Hey, they don't respect me like they should, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No,
that's not true. Now you make a joke about how they don't respect you.
My wife.
No.
No?
You know my favorite Rodney Dangerfield joke
I can't
is?
Pull out a joke, like, at the... What would be a good joke?
He goes, I
so
get
the
no,
other
I,
teacher, he
I
came
get,
down
I
the
get
other
no
day.
Respect, I tell you, I get no respect. The other night, I was coming home. My wife met me at the door in a sexy negligee. She was coming home, too.
I've heard that one. I've definitely heard favorite. That one.
That's my favorite.
Okay, so they have us in this giant room, right? They're only supposed to be, like, maybe 12 teachers in the whole room doing it. But there's, like... So every single person working can hear the other person working.
Which means that the students
can also hear. Okay, so the
why can't you just go into classrooms?
So only people with their own laptops can go into classrooms. The reason that so far I've chosen not to do that is because it gets super lonely when you're in there for like 5 hours straight.
Yeah, but you could also just not be around anybody.
That's one thing. That's like one small
issue. You could walk into your classroom.
Yeah.
Close the door.
Yeah.
Blast the AC.
Yeah.
Take your pants off.
No.
And nobody's no. coming in.
That's not true. People walk into classrooms all the time. Students walk into classrooms that are full of kids.
But it's remote teaching.
But only one grade is gone at a time. Which means the other 1,500 kids...
Oh, so instead
kids,
of there being 2,000 kids in the school, there's only 1,500.
The reason that...
Does that make a difference?
Let me explain. Here's the process so far, okay? So the school day, and all of you guys should be following along because all of your schools are following this idea to one extent or another. The bigger the school, the worse the insanity is. So it goes like this, okay? Every day is now split up into two parts, a mishmeret boker and a mishmeret erev, which is like a morning section. What am I talking about? A morning block and an afternoon block. Now, each one is four, depending on which grade it is, Johnny, either 3 hours or 4 hours at a time, which means group A comes from 8:15 to 11:20, and then the second group is from, like, 11:30 to 2-something, okay? You following me?
Yes.
Except unless it's another day of the week when they'll come from 8:15 to about 10:30, except that's only on the days where each classes will switch at some point, because sometimes A doesn't start the day, B will start the day instead. But also, at least several times a week, one grade or more will go home for one day to learn online, but that day also changes as well. So here is my problem.
This sounds more needlessly complicated than my daughter's custody schedule.
But that's the issue. That's the problem. The reason that it's so overly complicated is because each grade has their own schedule. So the idea is that a teacher comes to school, and if a teacher teaches more than one grade at a time, they're like, okay, the ninth graders, kvutza, like A group is starting in the morning, right? And B group is in the afternoon shift. But that's not necessarily true for the 11th graders who have B in the morning and A in the afternoon, but only 4 out of the 5 days a week.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've lost, right? We're walking into classes going, you're A group, right? Because I've prepared a lesson for A group. And they're like, we're B. We're B. We saw you yesterday. And you're like, but it should be A. No, today's Thursday, so actually we've switched. It's insanity. I've been teaching for a week and a half. I met one of my classes today for the first time, who I haven't seen yet this year.
Okay, well,
it's been
that,
a week and a half,
that's...
and I still haven't met kids or had a one-on-one frontal lesson with them because of everything that works out. And the fact that just they keep changing it every day, it's just impossible to follow. And on top of all that,
we're all talking through a mess like this all the time, but they finally let out a new
directive
that teachers can be teaching without their masks on as long as there's 2 meters in between them and the students. Do you have to wear
your face shield?
No, none of us wear face shields. Uh-oh. Those things were, like, proven to be very bad for you.
I assumed that they didn't really work unless you had, like, the whole hazmat getup, but bad for you specifically?
So when the corona first broke out and there were still some countries that didn't immediately move to remote learning, they specifically took it from England, where the schools had continued for longer than anyone else, and they had the teachers. Some teachers were wearing masks, some teachers were wearing just face shields, and some teachers were wearing masks and face shields. So you immediately remove the ones with the mask and the face shields because no one knows what they're saying because they're covered up.
Yeah, it's like, wah, 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 and then you, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So then they looked at who kept getting sick between those with just the mask and those with the face shield. The ones with the mask and the face shield, nobody was getting sick.
Right.
That was a real thing.
Yeah.
Masks, a tiny bit. Face shield, everybody.
Of course.
Because it was just... because
there's nothing blocking you.
Yeah, that was it.
All the face shield is blocking you from... By the way, and if somebody, like, walked up to a person with a face shield and they sneezed in your face and it went kersplat, a bunch of goo, you'd be like, miss me with that shit. And then, but then you'd still get sick because all the corona particles will just go around.
Right, but my favorite is when you sneeze in your own shield and it goes,
like, so when I try to, like, run to a private area and release my shield and release my mask so that I can sneeze like a normal person. Because then, let's say it's the first thing in the morning, you're walking.
Have you ever sneezed, you're driving, but you have to keep your eyes open? Yes. You get like a sneezing attack.
Yeah.
And the next thing you see, there's just droplets all over the front windshield.
Oh, no, not
like,
that. Not
good
that.
God. Or it's
like,
on the steering wheel.
But like, I'm desperately trying to keep my eyes open while I'm going, you know? And you're like, no, I can't blink because I'm gonna get into an accident.
No, but the masks are the best right now because people keep making like the funniest mistakes. I was in the middle of a teacher's meeting and Eugenie turned to me in the middle of the meeting and she just started going like this.
Oh, she didn't realize she was whispering to you?
No, with her mask on. And I just saw her head just going,
Well, totally. Seeing as how
have
I
you
can...
eaten yet with your mask on?
No.
Have you tried
seeing
to do
as
that?
How I can read the corners of your eyes.
It was just so funny. Like, it was all those things that people today, you know, those ideas, what are those things that you would say that people do or think about or are part of everybody's life, but nobody ever talks about?
Just general,
you know what I mean?
Daily habits?
General daily habits of things that you think you're the only person that does stuff like that.
I definitely don't think that. The only time
I'm saying, what are a couple of things that you think everybody does but nobody ever talks about?
Well, certainly, like, different habits of, like, the way you go to the bathroom.
So I thought of one. I was reading a story. I was reading my Neil Gaiman story, the one that I always start with every year, Other People, where the guy's getting tortured. And there's a scene where the guy walks by the wall with all the torture objects as he's walking by, and he eyes them until he finally, like, picks up a torture object, like, the right one. And I realized, I was like, what is he doing? Because the words, like, the English words, the vocabulary itself is difficult for the students. So I was like, what is this demon doing as he's perusing the torture objects? And they were like, what is he doing? I was like, you guys know how whenever we're going clothes shopping, when we think nobody's noticing, we'll just slightly hold out our hand a little bit as we walk past all the shirts, and we'll all just touch the softness of all the clothes as we go by. Do you do that?
Yes, I do.
Everybody does that, but that's one of those things that nobody ever talks about.
Nobody thinks about it.
Nobody thinks
it's
about
subconscious.
It, but everybody does it.
But even when I'm doing it, I don't think about it.
I do.
Just
I'm
like,
just like, oh, I love shopping because of this one thing.
But you,
like,
don't love
the that. Last time I've had the opportunity to do that was like the last time we were in America at a huge mall where you're just like, I'm in H&M right now, there's just 1,000 clothes, and you're all just like, I love the feeling on my hands. That was just one that I discovered today that everybody does, but nobody really thinks about or talks about. I thought that was fun. Point is, so here's what I have set up, right? I went onto the stage for my first Zoom lesson, which eventually became 6 hours straight of just Zooming, which was tough, intense.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's where I have a leg up, by the way, on everybody else.
You do this.
I do this. I'm so comfortable in front of the camera that my students might as well actually be watching me on tangent. I'm standing up.
They better
I'm
not, going, though.
Like, there's a bunch of time.
Gal Neve, don't tell anybody. Does he still listen to us?
No, man. He's in the army.
Oh, he don't have time.
So, like, I'm up and I'm around and I'm pushing the chair back and I'm down on my knees and I'm, like, getting up in front of the camera when someone, like, answers a question well, and at some point I grabbed, like, I put my hands so you could see the hands coming at you on the screen, and I grabbed the camera, I'm like, you guys are doing so amazing today, and I was, like, shaking the camera, they were all laughing, and they were paying attention. I had 6 hours of people just eating out of my digital hands.
Digital hands.
Yeah, and I also have a virus program on it, so clean.
So no one's getting sick.
No corona through the camera. But what I did do, which was really cool, so the whole stage has, like, all these curtains and shit on it, because, obviously, you know, they need, like, backdrops, they need people to be able to, like, disappear into the darkness, etc. So I pulled out these two curtains, and I found, like, a whiteboard on legs and wheels and stuff, and I wheeled it right up to the two curtains, and now I have, like, this tiny little closed-off room, and then I stole a lamp from the tech guy's office, so now, it has glow, and I can use a whiteboard, and I just, like, I'm all by myself, and apparently, this past Sunday, I was talking about the whole rape business in a lot. That's mm-hmm. what I was, that was, like, my first chinuch lesson for the year, was, like, telling these kids all about the raping.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, when you can't see teachers, but everybody can hear you, and one teacher's teaching about the present, perfect, simple, etc., and then you just hear a person going, rape. I think that was the background. And while I was talking about rape with my 15-year-old students, another teacher was zooming on his civics class, like his social studies class or whatever.
His Honda Civic class.
And he put on a video on YouTube for them to watch. But what he forgot is that on Zoom, when you're sharing a video,
you have to share the sound as
you
well.
You have to share the sound. And he forgot to do that. Whoopsie. So all of his students are watching this video with no sound, his mic's on, and he's just looking at them, and they're staring at him, and all you hear is, he's like singing along with the video without sound, and his entire class just immediately phones up. Teachers, they all just recorded him singing by himself awkwardly for 3 minutes. And of course, while I'm talking about rape, you can hear the principal of the 10th grade just singing to himself in the background about something. It's chaos. People are losing internet feeds. People don't know how to hit buttons. The older teachers don't know what's going on. It's crazy. And a bunch of classes in my school have already gone into Bidud, as there are two teachers who have already been exposed, and everyone's straight out convinced that after Rosh Hashanah, they're just going to give up.
Well, that's the thing that I kind of wanted to discuss today, right? Because we're in pretty dire circumstances here in the country now. There were 4,000 positive tests today or something crazy like that. And the government, who had control and then lost control and now has completely lost control, they're like, maybe we'll do something. But like, they can't cancel Rosh Hashanah. They can try, but people won't listen. Like, lots of people, millions of people, people already not listening because they're assholes. But now, when you add to that the fact that it's the holiest day of the entire year, a day where even I understand the importance of, like, going to synagogue and praying as part of an organized prayer quorum, but they gotta do something, because otherwise, 2 weeks from now, it's gonna be twice as bad, because we're all gonna have sat in synagogue.
The synagogues won't open.
They're gonna be just outdoor minyanim everywhere?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I honestly believe that, because most of the synagogues, who themselves are organizations unto themselves, will follow the rules. They're not just going to let 50 people into Rosh Hashanah and go, hey, screw it. It also kind of goes against the idea of what's going on in Rosh Hashanah. Like, you don't start breaking the law while you're asking God to please listen to you, because hopefully you're a good person. Do I think that the Rusty Shul is going to follow the laws?
Yeah, I do.
I think every big shul will follow the rules.
But do you think that our friends who live a half a kilometer to the west are going to give an F about that? They're just going to go about their business as usual.
Well, I'm sure you saw the video of the Haredim breaking down the barriers at Uman. Have you seen that video that's going around today?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
They set up metal barriers all through the shul or whatever it is that they operate.
I thought that they weren't allowed to go.
No, apparently they let them go, but they set up all of these things to help them be socially distanced,
right?
And they're tearing them down and ripping them apart.
So all those people are going to come back, and they're all going to be infected.
Well, everyone's saying make them quarantine, but that's something that you can't really stick to afterwards.
Dude, there's thousands of people go to Uman every year.
I don't know how many people were allowed to go. I have no idea. It's just, it's going to be problematic. I'll tell you what, though. You're talking about a lockdown over Rosh Hashanah. I think we're talking about two different things. I think the lockdown over Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with shuls, and it has more to do with the fact that each city will lock down, and they don't want people traveling to each other's homes for Rosh Hashanah.
Right, which is fine, because, like, my daughter's going to be with her mother, so I'm all alone, and I'm still going to be able to go to a meal or two here and there anyway, so I'm happy about that. Because
I heard the good news.
That I'm coming here.
Yeah.
I'm coming here tomorrow, this Shabbat, and next Shabbat.
Yeah.
But what is... Like, because I'll tell you why, because for those of you who don't know...
Johnny doesn't even ask me anymore if he can come for Shabbat. He just, like, sends it straight to Ellie, which is, finally.
I have a really incredible relationship with my friends in that, in some cases, I feel as close with my friends' wives as I am with my friends... with the guys. I'm as close with the wives as I am with the husbands. That's really an incredible blessing and something that I don't take for granted. So that. It just seems interesting to me because when you consider that you can't shut down Rosh Hashanah, you can't cancel Rosh Hashanah the way you cancel
Pesach.
Yeah, but that was months ago and that was while we were still all in quarantine, so to speak. This is like they let the cat out of the bag and now the cat is feral and it's clawing all of our faces off, right? Like if they had let us stay, if they had said, okay, we're staying in lockdown until July, until the beginning of August, then we would be fine. But we didn't.
Yeah.
And so we have months of growth. And our, if you look at our graph, it goes zips down, and then shoots right back up. And it's like the most depressing thing you've seen. Luckily for us, though, all things considered, with how many cases we have, the fatalities have been low, which is good.
Probably because of some things that we'll be able to look back in history one day and just be like, we leveled out, like the flu.
The reason, I don't know.
Here's the thing. So the way that I see it, and again, if you want actual information about COVID, you're then watching
turn
the
off
wrong
this
live
show
video.
And tune in to the live talk that's going on right now with our science correspondent, who's never actually been on the show live, who answers all of our COVID questions. We have no comments. I'm just checking comments.
No, that's totally fine. So here's the way that I see it, okay? I was talking with one of my students who was using that, like, who was using the argument, you know, Corona's, okay, fantastic. We can restart it, or...
No, I mean, I'm watching it, right?
That's okay, whatever.
Tune in to the... Yeah, we're watching it.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know, if the video keeps breaking up, head over to www.mixler.com/maximum-mic, and then you'll be able to hear us sweetly, just with a little bit of
or just reset.
Yeah, or just reset. I guess that's a thing. I don't know what's going on.
No, don't.
Okay.
Set.
Okay. Point is, okay. I was having a conversation with Dorman. I was having a conversation with one of my students. We were talking about COVID and all that, and they're like, you know, the COVID's not so bad. I mean, thousands of people die every year from the flu, and I was like, you know how many people died from the flu this year, like. No one. Like, no one. The minute that we started wearing masks, the numbers of people who died of the flu dropped insanely. Which means we now know how to prevent people from dying from the flu. So now the question is, are we cool now with people dying from the flu now that we know how to stop it?
No, I think that that's a dumb thing to say anyway, because let's just take America, because I know their numbers a little bit.
Right.
Like, you know how many people died of the flu in 2019? Like... 30,000.
Right.
You know how many people have died of COVID-19 in 2020? 180, almost 200,000 people.
Right. Again, you're right. But they were just like, but people die all the time. How many people die from the flu in Israel every year? That's something that I would like to know.
But also, by the way, it's funny that your kids, that argument is so 6 months ago.
I know, but they're 14 years old.
So they should know. They should know. They should be at the forefront of...
But I was trying to explain to them that if we can stop it, then it's got to, like,
then it's now your responsibility. If you can stop anyone from dying... Also, somebody else was like, oh, it's only 1,000 people that have died. And I had to, like, look a 15-year-old in the face and go, yeah, 1,000 people. 1,000 moms, dads, grandparents, entire lives. And, like, with each word that came out of my mouth, the kid just, like, kind of got smaller.
Yeah.
Just sort of disappeared into...
Yeah.
It's really funny.
But people keep asking me, because I'm, like, the token American in my office, they keep asking me, like, so, what's going to be with the election in November? What's going to be? What's going to be? And I'm like, first of all, I don't know. Second of all, stop asking me. But what they do this thing is, like, so, do you think, and I kept saying this, and I've been saying this for months, do you think Trump's going to lose? And I go, not unless everybody's grandparents dies of COVID-19. And somebody, because it was recent, somebody said to me, he's like, hey, getting close.
Oh,
I was like, that's sad, but you're not wrong.
So, when it comes to the election, I did something that was right. Have you seen what's going on today with Trump and his whole, like, the video, the soundbite of him admitting that he's known how terrible COVID is since February of this year?
Yeah, did the Bob Woodward interview.
Yes. Right? So, I'm watching all this stuff. I'm watching it on Trevor Noah, and I'm watching it on NBC, and in each case... And in each case, it's just like President Trump, and he lied, and he downplayed, and he could have saved many, murdered millions of people. And I was like, I wonder, just out of curiosity, I wonder what's going on.
What are the Fox people saying?
So I just went to YouTube and typed in Fox News, and everyone just like records all of their news, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went up, and they're just like, Trump's been doing great. Trump, what did he do? Like, the day after, he closed down airports, he's done this, he made sure that a bajillion masks were brought into the country, and he's been saying since the very beginning they've been working with people, and he's been doing everything he possibly can, but he's been downplaying it a lot, and President Trump has done such a good, like, it's just a completely different look at the same idea, and they're like, we'd like to now read things that President Trump has said over the last 6 months. And they just had a list of all these things that if you think about it and you just go, oh, this is Trump's way of saying we all need to be careful. And they showed a bunch of clips of him going, it's a terrible thing. We're working on it. We gotta be careful.
I was going through
It's just such the dissonance between the two stories.
Well, we've discussed it. I've been going
dissonance.
Through... Dissonance. I've been going through...
That was like, for somebody.
I like that.
Sorry.
I've been going through, I've been trying to find out, like, good stuff about Trump, because I'm trying to find it out.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, sure.
Again, I don't like the guy, but I want to find good stuff, just so I have something to say. So, first of all, it's almost impossible to find, but I found a list that was, like, every terrible or dumb thing he's ever said tracked, with links to articles in depth about it, and I started flipping through the list. Now, it was... eye-wateringly petty every tiny thing, but again, the same thing that you could do with any president, I believe, if you were so inclined.
Right.
Now obviously Trump makes himself an exceptional target because he talks a lot of shit and he doesn't sound super bright when he says it, and
what if it's all
so that's it. So a lot of the stuff I'm reading and I'm going, well, I understand why somebody would be upset about it, but that doesn't sound so bad to me. The next thing's like, ah, I understand why somebody could be upset about that, but that doesn't sound so bad to me either. Same thing with the quote, the Bob Woodward quotes is like, oh, I guess that, like, he doesn't want to panic the people. That makes sense.
So for the last 4 years, they've been saying Trump is dumb, Trump is dumb, Trump is dumb, and then here's like a soundbite of Trump going, okay, let me explain how the pandemic actually works. So it doesn't go through touch, because then you won't have to touch things. It's actually going through the air, and that way it gets fixed, because you really can't stop people from going through the air, so it's a real danger. And he's, like, saying a bunch of really smart things, and then, like, Trevor Noah was like, all this time we thought that Trump was too stupid to follow, but it's even worse than that, because now we find out that he's actually really smart, and...
He's trying to kill you all.
He's trying to kill you all.
Right, because he's racist.
Because he's doing it to make sure that...
All he cares about, by the way, and the left knows this, because that's the thing that they get on him for all the time, all he cares about is keeping the economy running. right? And everything that he tried to do was to try to minimize the damage to the economy, okay? And the thing that I think America, especially because it's such a large country, kind of got wrong was that they locked down the entire country. What they should have done is said, okay, we're locking down New York. New Yorkers, you're in lockdown. Madison, Wisconsin, you're cool for now. Keep going about your business. But then instead,
so by the time Corona gets to you, we can reopen.
No,
you.
They would have flattened the curve in New York. People would have stopped traveling, but they wouldn't have forced some guy who owns a family business making sausages in Wisconsin to close his small business.
I'm surprised he went with sausages.
Well, it was cheese.
Cheese, yeah.
Or whatever, a guy who runs a sports
He's
bar.
He's grinding his own Gouda,
a guy
if you know
who runs
I mean.
A sports bar in Omaha didn't need to shut his sports bar down at the same time they were shutting the entire state of New Jersey down. There probably could have been a cascading way to do, like, rolling lockdowns. The problem is that nobody in America will agree to anything or talk to each other or work together to accomplish anything, so we had to just be like, shit. Stop it all. Like, and again, I don't like Trump. But I also don't feel like just randomly piling onto a person without understanding everything.
So that's what a bunch of the teachers were saying, that even if the government attempted to try and start a lockdown now, nobody would do it because nobody would go along with it because of all the money that they lost and all the people that are out of work, etc. But that's not the same as locking down the cities for 2 days over Rosh Hashanah. I think we're dealing with a completely different kind of lockdown.
That's fine. And again,
I really think that most people should stay in their own homes, you excluded, should stay in their own homes and not have all of their cousins from 15 different cities show up.
I'm the opposite of a super spreader, right? I'm clean, I wash my hands frequently, and I'm one guy.
Have you noticed the bathrooms in your office being dirtier?
No.
Since COVID started?
If anything, they're cleaner.
Really? Because I feel like people are just peeing everywhere and no one's flushing the toilet because nobody wants to touch the button.
Okay.
Well, I feel like the bathrooms have gotten worse.
Well, pardon my French, but fuck those people. I went on a humongous rant about people screaming at people for peeing on the toilet seat.
You do that?
No, I did it on this show years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing it again.
Sometimes you need like a reboot, you know, when the issue still is at hand.
It's fine. The bathrooms are fine at work.
Okay, what just happened that just reminded me of that? I've been watching a lot of cartoons with Shalvat in the afternoon because I'm not tutoring yet, as I'm trying to push that off as long as possible before I have to start doing that. We watched two completely different shows that both referenced Ghostbusters. Completely different series, and it was a haunted house, and they're like, yeah, you gotta stay away from this haunted house. They're like, oh, what's the address? It's 1984 Spengler Street.
Oh.
And I was like, all right, pause the show.
Time out.
I gotta explain some stuff to you. And then, like, the next day, we were watching a DuckTales episode, and they also referenced Ghostbusters, and they had a ripoff. It was like the same thing. I was like, twice in a row, baby. You're lucky I watch cartoons with
you. And then you were watching Animaniacs, and you had to explain her the fingerprints joke.
I did that already a few years ago when
good.
It was more important.
Do you
like,
know that? Do you remember that?
Some people like to stick their fingers into orifices. It was a good conversation. It went well.
Yeah.
No, that didn't.
Do you remember the joke?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That was fingerprints. Ew.
Well, she's holding
prints. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he smiles at her.
He smiles at her. Well, he did wear a lot of assless chaps on stage.
I'm so excited for that for the reboot to come.
Of what?
Of Animaniacs. Yeah, I'm super excited for it.
I did listen to, you know, I have often said that I'm not a huge Prince fan. And I've listened now to like 4 Prince albums, and it's pretty cool. He's pretty cool. I gotta give credit where he's pretty cool.
I don't like it.
I didn't want
to. I listened
to
a lot of stuff.
Trust me, there's other stuff I didn't like way more. For those of you who don't follow me on the Facebook, I completed the 80s in the 1001 album challenge, and Sunday, I guess I'll start with the 90s. I'm 660 albums into what is, I think, now up to 1,080 albums, because I've added a bunch. And yeah, the 80s were great. I loved the 80s, obviously, because, yeah, I'm an 80s guy. And I'm going to love the 90s, too, I'm sure of it, because it's going to be all a bunch of grunge and alternative music.
I understood that you have a list for us today.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
I'm very excited about this, because I am not up to date.
Okay.
And I have also
So basically, because we thought we were going to do a little bit of a lighter show and not go into all that crazy systemic racism stuff that you guys love so much, and God forbid... Oh, I want to have a quick sports story, and then we'll do my list, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So we want to do a lighter show, so we're going to talk about my list. The list that I have is, I thought that it would be cool if we reviewed a little bit about where we are in the superhero world and how the superhero movies are going, because as some of you may or may not have heard, a few days ago the production for the new Batman movie was shut down because Robert Pattinson, aka Batman, has coronavirus.
So does The Rock.
So
right?
The Rock had it. I think The Rock has recovered already. But what's...
He just flexed really hard.
Until he just worked out so hard he sweated it out, yeah. But then nobody could go into his home gym for, like, 6 weeks until...
I don't think he works at home. He has a gym that he goes to.
Because I've seen people interact with him at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him be super cool to people in the gym, which is awesome. Can you imagine being at the gym and then, like, Dwayne Johnson comes over and gives you, like, a little bit of
I would be, like, at the gym and I'd look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson and I would just give up on the spot.
No, but that's...
He doesn't inspire me. He intimidates me.
He also... Well, he... That's my problem with him, is that not that he intimidates me, but that he's too inspiring. It's like, dude, I can't handle it. I can't. You're too inspiring. Dial it down, please. But I have a few inspiring athletes that I follow anyway. So, speaking of athletes, if you don't, and you don't need to be a sports fan to appreciate it, but if you don't, haven't yet, go on Netflix and watch the show Formula One Drive to Survive. It's basically a season-in-review documentary all about what went on in the previous season, and they usually debut it right before the new season starts. There's been two seasons of the episode, right?
Okay.
So the 2018 season of the show came on before the 2019 season, and the 2019 season of the show came on before the 2020 season.
So it kind of, like, gets you ready and introduces you to all the characters.
Catches you up on what happened last year.
Because they want you to move from the documentary
straight
over into
exactly.
the actual
it's brilliant. And the documentary, it's amazingly made. It's filmed so well where you go, wait a minute, I watched that race. How did they get the camera guys where the camera... I didn't see those camera guys when they were doing the race. Like, it's crazy. It's amazing. Anyway, so last season, they introduced a driver, a French kid by the name of Pierre Gasly. Okay? So Pierre Gasly was racing first for a team called Toro Rosso. Now, the Red Bull racing team has sort of the junior team and the major team, both racing in F1.
Okay.
So he was showing promise on the junior team, and he was promoted to the major team. And on the major team, he had some very difficult struggles. And very...
What kind of struggles does
he
a person
was,
have?
He had a couple at crashes. He wasn't performing to the level at which it's expected that you are expected to be fighting for top position, at least scoring points almost every race if you're racing for that team.
Okay.
Okay? So he gets very unceremoniously demoted back down to the junior team.
Okay.
Okay? During the last season of the show. And it's like, man, he's such a likable kid. He's really positive. And you can see how deeply he's affected by the pressure that sport is having on him and the pressure that he's under in his team. Fine. So this season, he's back in the junior team. And he's doing well, very well, performing well. And then he had a podium finish. That means he came in top three position. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, he's such a likable kid. He had such a rough time last season. That's amazing. Everybody's so happy for him. Well, last week, because it was just a crazy race, and the guy who was winning the race had a 10-second penalty for a mistake that he made, this kid, Pierre Gasly, he won. He won his first ever Formula One race. And it was just, everybody was so happy for him. And everybody, like other drivers, were like, yay, Pierre! We're all so happy for you. And it was so sweet and wholesome. And there's like a picture of him that he posted on Instagram where he's just sitting on the podium still with the trophy. He's like, I had to sit here for a little bit longer. I didn't want to leave because you never know when you're going to make it back, and I wanted to appreciate the moment as much as possible. And he's just like sitting there reflecting, looking at his trophy. And it was just like a really exceptionally nice story about a kid who, for all intents and purposes, seems to be a great kid who works hard, and he's got pace, obviously, because he's racing in Formula One. There's only 20 jobs available on the planet for that.
I'll tell you.
And it was just like, it felt good to watch this kid who you saw have a really rough time win.
So, one of the perks of being a high school English teacher is that we get to see a lot of society. Do you know what I mean? Like, we get to see the different kinds of people that you know that in a few years or so is going to be someone that you're going to meet in line at the post office, or someone who's going to be driving next to you, or someone who's going to be working in an office. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay? So you can actually watch kids sometimes and go, this kid is not a good person.
Right.
He's not a good person. He's constantly lying, or he's constantly coming up with excuses, or he's constantly complaining, and you can just sort of see sometimes what kind of people they're going to develop into, right? And at other times, you can see a kid came to, there was a kid in school today, bald, like shaved with like a blade bald, and he's like, hey, Michael, you're not going to come say hello to me? And I realized very quickly that it was like an alumni of the school, but he was walking around with his chest out and his head held so high. And I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? He goes, you know, like this was his first, the army changes you. And I was like, really? How does the army?
Into what?
And I was like, into what? He goes, well, you know, I'm much more responsible and I'm much more of an adult now. And I was like, really? What would you say to all the kids today? Like, if you could go up to them, not that they would listen to you because you're only officially old because you've been graduated for a year now, or half a year, or whatever it is. And he's like, I would tell them that they're all fake and they don't know what the F they're talking about. And I was one of those people. And I was like, okay. It's true. The army does change you a little bit, right? But sometimes we have these kids that just remind me of what you were talking about, where you're like, this kid, there's nothing insanely special about him other than he has the most positive attitude and he works really hard, and just for that, you know that he's gonna make it far because of those two things.
Well, he's also
positive, he doesn't complain about anything.
He's also gotta be a specifically amazing race car
I'm
driver.
I'm not talking about race car driving. I'm talking about that there's a group of people in our society who just accomplish much because they have those two principles.
Right.
They're just positive, and they appreciate people around them, and they work really hard. Three things. There's a kid in one of Eugenie's classes that whenever the teacher talks, the kid is just going like this, the whole class, just going,
yeah,
that's right. And when you'd be like, come on, you just like, our everything is terrible right now, when we really have to rally together, and sometimes you just see kids just,
rally.
Yeah, and it's totally wonderful to see. And this kid who sat on the podium just for like an extra couple of minutes, you see that in like regular kids and teenagers and people sometimes, where they're just like, man, I do have to appreciate
grateful
a little
for
bit
what they have.
Yeah. And it's wonderful, but they're a minority.
Yeah.
They're a minority, and it's crazy to think that the people that we most need on this planet are the people who are terribly lacking.
The least
and that's
of
really
yeah,
hard.
That makes sense. All right, let's talk about some superhero movies and then we'll fuck off. So basically, there's a lot of movies that are still coming out. You did not watch the Batman trailer?
I did not watch the Batman trailer. I did not watch the Dune trailer. And I kind of want to talk about Mulan a little
the
bit.
The Dune trailer looks sick.
What else looked sick? Wasn't that Alien movie? Like the prequel of the Alien movie? Didn't that look sick as well?
I haven't seen the other one. Yeah, no, I saw Prometheus.
Prometheus
was a cool movie.
But was it everything that I mean, a lot of people...
No, it wasn't, because the biggest problem with Prometheus is that they go, we have this, we're going on this space mission. We have all the most talented and exceptional scientists on Earth going on this space mission with us. Now watch them all make completely dumb first grade mistakes that nobody in their position would ever make.
It's bad writing. It's hard, man. It's hard. I've seen the biggest complaint so far about the Dune video, that they've changed it from the Behemoth, whatever the alien race is, from the Jihad, and they've changed it to a crusade. It was called the Jihad something, like the alien.
Okay, who cares?
But the like people like, why do they gotta change? Like that's the PC culture. That's what everybody's upset about right now.
But you know what? Some of those changes don't really matter because they don't hurt anybody. Okay, so
except Christians. Like,
so the one that just came out and isn't getting great reviews. It came out a few like a week ago.
New Mutants.
The New Mutants. It was supposed to come out in April. It just came out. The reviews are not so good.
The reviews are not so good, but I saw a bunch of people online who were like, everyone's like, this is the worst X-Men movie ever, and they're just like, you're just full of shit. The worst X-Men ever. You haven't seen X-Men Wolverine. You haven't seen X-Men Origin Wolverine.
The first Wolverine was bad. The second one was okay.
The Wolverine.
And then Logan, whatever.
Yeah, but they were just like, there's so many other movies that you're just like forgetting because you want to, you know, piss all over this thing. And
okay.
It's also a horror movie, so it's probably not up my alley. And
then we've got, in November, Black Widow, which was supposed to come out in May. Okay.
It's supposed to come out
like, in May.
Wow.
And it's going to be in November.
And do we know how they're going to put it out? Are they going to do it? Are they going to sell it?
It on doesn't.
Disney Plus?
I don't know. Maybe. Then
did you read about the Mulan thing going on? You don't know what's going on with Mulan?
No.
Really, you missed this. It was okay.
I saw that it was that there was like some kind of thing going on.
A scandal going
and
on.
And then I was like, I don't care.
So apparently they filmed
Mulan yes. They filmed it in an area
where they're like sterilizing Muslims. Everyone's like, cancel your Disney Plus account. And I was like,
no. Right. They filmed it in a part of the country where they're like Uyghur concentration camps, so people want to cancel the movie.
I just don't think that canceling my Disney Plus subscription will in any way save the people in China now.
Okay.
The people who want me to cancel my Disney Plus account are like, don't you know that they have these camps in China? I was like, yeah, but the camps have been there forever and you didn't do anything about it. Well, Disney, and they filmed. Yeah, maybe some money went into the local camps, like they have sometimes in the camps that the Palestinians are in also. And if they do anything, like, sometimes there's, like, a benefit to the people who are there because they're bringing in some kind of work where they need people to whatever it is. I don't know. But the point is there is no way that anyone in Disney's hierarchy?
Yeah.
Right, hierarchy. We're like, oh, really? You're sterilizing Muslim women. Oh, that's so sweet. But we don't care about that. We'd like to keep filming. Like, nobody was talking about sterilization.
No.
Like, that just wasn't information that Disney people had and were ignoring.
No, yeah, it's like, maybe.
If it was, there's no way it was everyone. That's way too conspiracy to think about. You know what I mean?
No, that's fine.
You think the cameraman who was filming Mulan was aware of the sterilization?
No, he was making a movie. He doesn't care.
That's 95% of those people were just making a movie.
Now, the next movie that was supposed to come out after...
Also, I like it how it's okay. And they're like, hey, cancel your subscription. Just torrent.
Steal it.
Just steal it. Steal it. You don't agree with politics? If you don't agree with their politics, then you should really, you want to fall on your sword? Don't torrent it either, because it doesn't give you an excuse to not spend money. I like it how your politics help you not spend money, but you're still willing to steal and hurt all the other people.
How badly do you really want to see a live-action Mulan? Because for me, it's somewhere on the scale of between like 1 and 2 out of 10.
I'm assuming you didn't watch the pitch meetings for it.
No.
Because you haven't seen... You don't do that, right? That's your thing? You don't watch a pitch meeting if you haven't seen the movie?
I just haven't.
It's really funny. Okay. Just watch it. It's really funny.
All right, so the next one, and this is actually coming out... It was supposed to come out June 5th. It's coming out October 2nd, and it's Wonder Woman. And that's it for 2020.
2020 doesn't have a lot left. So what did we say? We said Black Widow and
Well, there were supposed to be more movies that were supposed to come out because July 31st, Morbius was supposed to come out. But now it's going to come out March 29th, 2021.
Okay, that's not so far away. And I'm still not
March
gonna
of next year is plenty.
It's 6 months from now.
Okay, Venom 2 was supposed to come out next month. And it will be coming out in June of next year. The Eternals was supposed to come out in November.
Does that mean all these movies are done?
Probably mostly. Or maybe finished completely. I guess if you have more time, you could do some extra stuff if you want. The Eternals was supposed to come out in November. It will come out in February of 2021. And Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which was supposed to come out in February of 2021, will come out in May, so not so bad.
The Shang-Chi comic book right now is also getting a lot of flack. Shang-Chi, for those of you that don't know, is a back in the 1970s when martial arts movies were very, very popular. Marvel came up with
specifically two Kung Fu.
Kung Fu movies. Marvel came up with two characters. One was Shang-Chi, the master, like he had like a like
you know
the
what
master
started
of Kung
the
Fu.
Kung Fu craze? It was David Carradine's show, the Kung Fu
Legends
the
Legends of Kung Fu.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. I didn't know that was. I thought it was like Bruce Lee.
Well, Bruce Lee also, but I think it was the David Carradine show that.
So one of them was Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, which was a very popular comic for a very long time, but was eventually canceled and then like never brought back. He appeared in other stories here and there. The other one was Iron Fist.
Right.
Where they're like, okay, we need a martial artist who looks like Bruce Lee. Here's Shang-Chi. But we also need a white guy who can do Kung Fu. So here's Danny Rand. And here's your Iron Fist 4. But the flack that it's picking up with right now is because some people are just so
yeah, they
over...
want it to be an Asian guy. They say...
No,
yeah.
No. Shang-Chi, the comic book, isn't... It's Shang-Chi. Like,
oh,
the character's
fine.
Back. But people are really getting tired of the, what's it called, where they're just sticking in minorities everywhere?
Yeah.
Diversity?
Diversity,
right? So the new Shang-Chi comic book has gone 4 issues, and on issue number 5, they've already introduced what is supposed to be a major character of a young Asian girl who is now the new master of Kung Fu, as he has trained her, and they're basically already bringing in diversification for this comic book, and they're like, isn't it enough that you're finally bringing back a character that nobody's done anything with for the last 30, like,
the problem
build
is,
his own...
The problem is that the comic book industry is, like, in a way, it's, like, too woke for its own good. Because they're just, all they want to do, and, like, of the most newest comics that I've read, all it seems like is that they're just trying to out-woke each other. And it's not leading to very good storytelling.
It is not leading. And like, if you're introducing a series that is about a single person, you don't introduce a character who starts getting their own adventures in issue 5.
Right.
That's barely an arc. That's
yeah.
barely enough time to... I mean, especially if you look back at successes of how things were... Oh, here's something I wanted to tell you very quickly because I forgot. I was mentioning the Neil Gaiman story, Other People... Right? That I teach it? This is the first year ever that I've managed to go, hey, everybody, are you familiar with Neil Gaiman? And everybody was like, no. And I was like, have you ever seen Lucifer?
Yeah, and you were able to...
And that was just so cool that I finally had that ability to make my students connect from one pop culture thing to another. And I'll be like, can you now be excited about this story I'm going to read to you just based on how much you love something else.
Nice.
And it worked, and that was very cool.
Okay, next. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was supposed to come out in May 2021. It's moving to March 2022.
You're not afraid that all these movies are going to leak if they're just already ready?
That's not
and
one,
done?
That one's not done. The Batman was supposed to come out June of 2021, moving to October. Not so bad. Then you've got Spider-Man.
That's a year from now.
Is it actually called Spider-Man Homesick?
I don't know. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Spider-Man Homesick, original... Oh my god, I never even heard of that.
It's moving from July to November of 2021.
What does it actually say? Are there any details about this?
No. Details are slim. Zendaya and Jacob Batalon will return alongside director John Watts.
Who is that? Who's Jacob Batalon?
I don't know. Suicide Squad is still slated for August 6, 2021, not changing. Suicide Squad 2.
2, yeah. I watched, did I tell you that?
Thor, Love and Thunder, moving from November of next year to February
of
2022.
Bird of Prey?
Yes, and he said it wasn't very good.
I said it wasn't terrible.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not the same.
Black Adam is still going to come out December 21st, 2021. A Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sequel is coming out in December of 2021.
That's a movie that will definitely stay on track because you don't really need people in a giant room together to do
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. Then you have Shazam 2, April 1st, 2022, Black Panther 2. I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, the precedent is already set in the comic books.
2022. The Flash, July 7th, 2022, and that's it. And by the way, still no mention or no hint or nothing Green Lantern, which makes me very upset. But all they have to do, and I hope that she can carry a movie, is give it to Shuri,
which has a precedent in the comic books. The King, Black Panther, and the comic books.
Or she has to fight for her right to
abducted.
No, they do it in single combat form, and whoever wins the fight gets to be. She'll get the power from him. By the way, they don't have any flowers for the superpowers anymore.
Why?
Because the Killmonger got his powers and burned all the garden down of the magic flowers. Remember?
Okay.
I'm sure they can grow more.
In the comic book, after the Black Panther married Storm, a bunch of politics went down and he abdicated the throne to Shuri in the comics years ago.
Okay, so then really all you have to do is you have to just start the movie with Black Panther's funeral and then we'll all have a good cry together.
So somebody else was just like, why not Terrence Howard it? Why not just give it to somebody else? Why not let the Black Panther continue with somebody else?
Because you don't need to. And because you have a secession thing in place, and because now that Wonder Woman's a thing, and Captain Marvel's a thing, why not? It doesn't bother me. She's cool. Give it to Shuri. Move on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to put in somebody else and say, surprise, it's not Chadwick Boseman. Also, like, Terrence Howard didn't make any kind of an impact on me. Whenever I rewatch Iron Man 1, I'm like, oh yeah, it wasn't Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is great as Rhodey.
Yeah, but Don Cheadle also got to be in a suit,
right,
and he got to be
right
involved.
Right, and so Chadwick Boseman was like the embodiment of that character. I don't want to see another actor
but
play
But we're going to see someone else as Iron Man. It's going to happen. We're going to see it. Just give it some time. We're gonna see a Wolverine. We're gonna see somebody new play that role.
Not yet.
We need to be ready for it.
When they're making remakes,
we're gonna see a Wolverine soon.
They're
making we're gonna see a new Iron Man.
Remakes of a remake of a remake, then yeah.
No, the X-Men are gonna join the MCU. We're gonna see a new Wolverine.
Right.
It's gonna happen. You can't have an X-Men movie without Wolverine.
Who should play the new Wolverine?
There's so many different options online. So many people who want that job so badly.
Yeah, for sure.
You nail that job, you're guaranteed
a bunch of
15,000 movies.
Unless you don't want to do that, like which is why Joaquin Phoenix didn't play Doctor Strange. They initially had to play Doctor Strange. They're like, all right, so you'll be in this movie, and then you'll be in like 14 other movies. He's like, excuse me, what now? And they're like, yeah, you're going to be part of this thing. He's like, no. I'll do it once, but I don't want to be in some kind of. And they're like, all right. So then they got the least creative person. Now, he's great at it, but it wasn't
least creative.
It wasn't like, and when they announced, oh, and Doctor Strange was played by Benedict Cumberbatch, everybody went like, that's obvious. All right, anyway.
Is there somebody who could have done it better?
No, I don't know. Maybe not, but it just wasn't the same thing when they were like, and Ben Affleck will be Batman. I was like, that's the best we can do.
Yeah,
right.
I was watching the Graham Norton show, which I know that you love so much. Have you seen the clip where they had, like, these two chefs, like, British chefs on? And then there was this, like, random A-class actor. I want to say it was one of the Marvel guys, but he seemed very awkward the whole time. And the other one was Billy Crystal.
Maybe.
Have you seen Billy Crystal on the Graham Norton show? So they had the two, like, well-known Hollywood actors basically just reading lines that were said on the cooking show that just had the most sexual innuendo ever. And everyone was like, and the title of the video was obviously focused on the young A-class Hollywood actor, but when you watch it, you're just like, Billy Crystal's nailing this. He's so much funnier.
He's a legendary comedian.
And he's like older, so like every saucier comment is just that much funnier because of it.
Yeah.
And no one was giving him the respect that he needed. Finally, yeah, that's it. I'm solid and I'm sweating like a monkey.
Okay, that's going to do it for us here on episode 8 of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. We hope you enjoyed us taking a little bit of a laid-back feel to the show. As always, stay tuned. We'll be with you in 2 weeks, I think so. I don't know. I don't know what holidays line out.
Regardless, yeah, I have no idea. That's a good point.
And we loved having you here. We loved you having us. We'll see you next time. Okay, bye.
Peace.
Thank you.